This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Hey guys, before we start, a quick shout out to Alpha Dog Nutrition for sponsoring this podcast. Alpha Dog products are now available at dusupply.com, and you can use code ALPHADOG15 at checkout for 15% off and a credit for free shipping to try it yourself. Now let's get you to your podcast.
Welcome to my podcast, where we are going to talk about a lifestyle with dogs and threw in a few life lessons along the way. Whether you're a hound hunter, bird dog enthusiast, running setters, pointers, retrievers, or a flat-out running dog junkie, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Heath Hyatt, a certified law enforcement canine trainer with over 3 decades of personal and professional training and handling experience. It's time for me to pay it forward. So grab your leads, lace up those boots, and come and join me on this lifelong process of teaching, training, and learning. Are you looking to unlock your dog's full potential and give them the best nutrition possible for peak performance? Then look no further. Anookshuk has what you're looking for. Anookshuk's nutrient-dense formulas are crafted to keep your dog's energy high and performance top-notch. Packed with premium proteins and essential fats, Anookshuk delivers the balanced nutrition your dog needs to thrive. From hunting dogs to police canines, Anookshuk is trusted by professionals. Give your dog the power of peak performance with Anookshuk Professional Dog Food. I open the latch with one hand while holding the Batistral in the other, carefully sliding one leg through as I pull the gate open enough to allow my 250-pound frame to squeeze in without letting the three tyrants out. After a quick step through, I pulled the gate closed while blocking the escape. It was then I realized I had unknowingly, yet seamlessly, orchestrated one of the best maneuvers a houndman could have. Operation Gate Escape. So that was yesterday. I was feeding, and after I had fed, I'd put the pups back up, and I was like, I'm going to put a little bit more straw in the doghouse, because, you know, pups wear it down pretty quickly. You know, they don't just go lay in one spot. They're all over the place. And plus, I have three of them in the same pen with a rather large doghouse. So I had went in and put the straw in, and I was stepping back out, and I have learned to, you know, adjust your body. You know, you only open the gate enough for to get one leg in or out. And then you step through and you quickly shut it behind you. And I started laughing. I'm like, you know, I have perfected this craft of gate blocking. And I thought I would open this podcast with the Great Escape, because I am a master at preventing the Great Escape. So, and I know every other houndman that has hounds or has hounds does the exact same thing. And I will say that I spend a lot of time making my dogs wait, you know, patiently wait. I'll crack the door, make them wait, or I'll stand in the door, make them wait until I'm ready. And that's going to go into a conversation we're going to have in a little bit. But so the dogs aren't just like trying to run over top of me, right? And they don't. But I had to laugh at myself for that, how seamlessly I slide in and I slide back out of the pen without letting the pups get out. So there you go. Welcome to this day episode of What's Up Wednesday. So first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to some of the people that listen. I want to shout out to Carter Blackwell down in North Carolina. He's one of the regular listeners. He is a young gentleman that hunts with his dad, Bobby, and I met them down at the Grand America. I have talked to Bobby through email and phone since. Bobby's retired law enforcement. And, you know, it's guys like you and girls like you, y'all, that, you know, keep the podcast going. If you didn't have listeners, then, you know, you're just kind of, you know, beating a dead horse. So thank you guys for listening and tuning in. And sometimes, like today, there's not a whole lot going on today. We're going to talk about a trip to the outdoor show. Training wise, not a whole lot. Like this last week and a half, temperatures have been horrible. Everything's been froze up. Finishing up basketball season. Still, like, you know, just stuff's going on. We've had, you know, had a couple things that's happened. It's that we've had to take our evenings and do that and fill in with some of the stuff. So we just hadn't had a lot of time. So basically the training part of this is yesterday, I put the dogs back out on a tie out while I was feeding. And I left them there a little bit longer than normal. And one of the gyps, Abby, she was barking quite a bit about halfway through. I went down to the lower lot and was cleaning dog pens and making sure I got all the ice out of the bucket so I could put, you know, fresh water back in. And, you know, I heard her up there barking. So when I come back up to the top of the hill, I literally stood there until she stopped. And when she stopped, I walked over. I made her take the slack out of the tie out, which means I stepped to the center. She'd come to me. I petted her a little bit. I reached down and I unclipped her and I petted her. And, you know, she just didn't bolt out of there. She was like, oh, I can go. So training wise, that's where I'm at. I have a younger, so those pups are getting ready to be 5 months old. I did make a faux pas this week. I had the dogs out. I was in a rush. And so Miles is my pup that wants to chase the neighbor's cars up and down the driveway. And he got started by the sea litter because the sea litter started doing it, and I had him out with them. So monkey see, monkey do. So I had the three pups out, Miles and Abby. And I'm gonna put a challenge out to you guys. So I've got this the third pup, and I have not come up with a name for her. She is very unique. She looks a little different. She is a tricolored dog. A little bit longer and lankier, has a little bit more of a I don't know how to say it. She has a little bit longer head down to her nose, snout on her. And I can't come up with a name. I told Maddie, if you know, you wanted to keep her, so come up with a name. So we haven't come up with a name. So if you guys can give me a name, send it to my, you know, send it in Messenger or Facebook, or, you know, drop it into DM on Instagram. And I would love to hear some of these names, because I'm in a standstill. Like, you know, we name our litters like A, B, C, and this is not one of those litters. So I'm just coming up with a name. Like I said, we named the other one Abby. Miles is a pup that I got from Kirk Rogers. He's he's a nice looking walker dog with a big ball mouth. He's getting ready to turn six months old, I think. And then I have a little black and tan, high tan looking dog that I got from Richie, and she's 15. She's about 15 weeks old. Now I'm gonna tell you that right there. Now she's into everything. If you see me post some pictures on my story on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, she's the one usually laying in my lap. Like, we've been keeping her in the basement because it has been so cold, and I don't want to put her outside by herself. She's just a little bit too little for the bigger pups. You know, they tend to wooler too much. And my thought process with that is I don't want her becoming aggressive, because they're playing with her and she's so small that she thinks she has to defend herself. So they do interact, and they're out here in the yard all the time, whatever. But as far as putting her in a pen with older pups, I haven't done that. So we've been keeping her in the basement. I've got a crate back in the corner, and she got a nice little bed in there. But, you know, she's been going everywhere. We went and cut wood yesterday, and, you know, she goes with me and runs around in the woods. And, you know, when I go to the trash dump, I'll grab her up, throw her in the truck, she'll ride with me to the trash dump. So anyway, she's full of herself, very full of herself. So that's kind of the pups I'm fooling with. But if anybody can come up with a name for the, and I tell you what, I will post a picture of her on this video for YouTube. I'll post a picture of her so you can look at her, and you guys help me come up with a good name, like a really good name. So I'll be looking forward to those. But anyway, so I had the pups out, and Rod come off the hill. He was getting ready to go scrape snow. That's what he does for a living. He runs a outdoor business where he mows yards and does landscaping and snow removal, stuff like that. So he come off the hill, and I heard him coming, and I look up and I start hollering for the dogs. Well, Abby and the walker pup, she came. And Miles, his ears perked up, and I was like, oh, right now's the time. Right now's the time. Didn't have anything on him. And, of course, he goes flying up through the yard. Rob goes down the hill, and, you know, he's down through there he goes. And I'm like, okay, I just set myself back because I wasn't prepared for that. So, anyway, he didn't do it as long this time, I will say. It was very short. I hollered a few times when I heard him shut up, and he come right back. And when he come back, I rewarded him. I was actually cleaning pens, and I'd hung the food bowl up, the bucket up on the pen. So I grabbed a handful of food and just reached down and let him eat a little some out of my hands. But anyway, that was a faux pas on my part. I was not prepared for that. I literally was not going to be outside long enough to do a training session. Like, I was trying to feed, get water, and we had somewhere to – I mean, I think we had a basketball game that night. So I was in a rush to start with, So, yeah, that's all the training that I've actually got done this past week. Hopefully the weather breaks this week. I'm going to take some of the older pups and start working on loading and feeding them in the box. I'm a little behind on that. So I'm going to start that. And then in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to start, you know, just taking them on some short trips up and down the road here. Just kind of work them into that, because I've really got to get on them. Like, I need to be getting them out. I was thinking about it yesterday when I was outside that, like, gosh, man, I'm a little behind. So that's it. That's what we've been doing. Went up to the Western Virginia Outdoor Show this past weekend. I got up Friday. I didn't get to go up Saturday because of other obligations. And I kind of split my time between, you know, George Lambert, the Mountain Music and Mule booth, and American Bear Foundation. Wayne and Eric were up there running that booth. So I tried to spend a little bit of time with them. I got caught up a whole lot of time with George talking dogs and talking to people that come by about dogs and hunting. And one of the things that George and I kind of would step back after we talked to everybody, we asked everybody how their season went. No one told us that the season was great or outstanding. Most of the people said it was tough, that they had a hard time finding bear, that, you know, it wasn't like it had been. So that was a common theme from everybody we talked to. And like I said, George was there Saturday and Sunday, and I haven't caught up with him to find out how many more people he talked to, and I'm sure it was a bunch. But so let's go back to the Great Escape, the gate. Okay. So we were talking to one of the, I was listening. I was only listening. George was having a conversation with a guy, and they were talking about the dogs blowing out of the back of the box and, you know, running over top of them when they go to let them out. A lot of times that would be our hunting style. Like, you know, are you just dumping dogs on, you know, you pulling up, dumping the gate, you know, are you dumping the box, right? Or are you pulling up, you know, letting the dogs out, let them clean out, you know, doing different things, right? What is your regimen? You know, the consistency. What's the consistency? I know Ross and I talked about that in a podcast last week. You know, you got to be consistent in what you do. So back to the gate, that's one of the reasons when my dogs start getting too hyper or too excited about getting out of the pen, that I slow down. And like I said, I will open the gate just enough to be able to put my body in front of it where they can't go around me, and make them stand there until they get calm. And that, we know that means that they chill, they're standing there, they're not bouncing up and down, and they're not trying to go around you. They're like, okay, I need to wait a second. And it's so simple. I mean, it takes, very seldom does it take over a minute to get that behavior. I mean, and once they understand, it's like 5 seconds, boom, they're standing there waiting. And then, you know, you step back, you let them out, and then you can start adding different scenarios to it. You can add duration and length, or you can open the gate and tell them to hold. I mean, you can do so many other things, and it is a very simple, simple, simple task. And that translates over to the dog box. Like, you know, when you open the door, like if you just hold your, you know, put your hand up and hold your hand in place, you know, the dogs will wait if you've done this prior, and they have an understanding of what's going on. And I think he even mentioned that a lot of people try to really downsize the size of the door so all the dogs aren't busting out of there. And again, it's a very quick fix. It doesn't take, I mean, it literally doesn't take even a minute of your time in the evenings. And if you can't let your dog, let's say you can't let your dogs out like I can, you know, let's say that you're in a neighborhood or you're in an area that's close to a highway and you're not just letting your dogs out, run around. You can do that in other manners. Like when you're feeding, I know BB and I had talked about this, like when you go to feed, you hold the food bowl, and as long as the dog's, you know, kind of erratic or whatever, you don't do nothing. As soon as the dog stops, and pays attention. Like, I make my dogs make eye contact with me. I've got one down here, a sea litter, and man, he is a food hog. And I mean, like, food hog. But what I do with him is I make him wait. And he's got to now where not only is he standing still, he'll sit. And as soon as his butt hits the ground, he's making eye contact with me. And as soon as he makes eye contact with me, I know his attention is on me. And I set the food bowl down and he goes to eating. And he has slowed down a little bit. But you can do other things other than just blocking the gate, right? There's other things to do. It doesn't take but a minute here or a minute there. It's very, very simple. And if you incorporate this into your regimen and you be consistent with it, you will see the rewards of it fairly quickly. And it makes, again, it makes it more pleasurable. You know, when you take your dogs out, you're not getting, you know, bombarded by, you know, how many of your dogs you're hunting. Like, in my truck, most time I have six. I got three on one side and three on the other. And, you know, I've gotten a little bit lazy. I'll open my gate and I'll say one, and one of them will come out and I'll put a collar on them, boom, and I send them and I'm like, all right, another. And they'll come out and I'll put a collar on and I'm like, okay. And then I put them on that way. So I've gotten a little lazy with that. And I think I'm going to try to tighten it up with this the new bunch that I'm hunting. So anyway. Yeah, that's pretty much the training session. But, you know, George and I, you know, we had a lot of conversations. It's always great to be up there. We had, you know, he took some Anookshook. I took a bunch of sample packs for him up and had several people coming up and asking questions and talking about the food. I think he was raffling away five bags or something. I know I left three up there. So anyway, it was a good time. American Bear Foundation's up there. And, you know, those guys are working really hard. We are working really hard to try to preserve what we have and keep what we have in Virginia going. So kudos to those guys. Like I said, they're volunteering. They went up there all weekend. You know, they paid for their own motel room. You know, they set everything up. So it's all, you know, they're doing everything on a volunteer basis. So, you know, you got to give them kudos for that. That's about it. So I'm going to leave you with a story today. That's what I'm going to do because there's not a lot going on there's a lot going on in my world, but the dog side of it is not to a screeching halt, but man, it's slowed down. And I hope this coming week we can pick back up with the weather. Basketball season is over. Yeah. So have a little bit more time during the week after work, and days are getting a little bit longer. So, you know, I'm getting 30 minutes a day. I was talking about this yesterday. Like, I haven't been trout fishing this year. And last year, I know I only went one or two times. So I'm hoping I can get back into that. I gotta catch me some trout, put some stuff in the freezer. But here's a story. All right. December 5th, 2003. It's about 1:30 in the evening. It was a Friday evening. And I was literally graduating from the police academy. We were at a Kiwanis Club building that the Kiwanis own. And we're going through our ceremony of, you know, they're getting the director's awards and you're getting your certificate and your chiefs and agencies are pinning badges on you. And my phone rings. Can't answer it, right? I'm in the middle. So as soon as all the ceremony part got done, you know, the receptions after where they do whatever, everybody comes around, shakes your hand. And so I go to my phone. And it's Clay had called me. And he's like, hey, Heath, found a bear track. I'm like, you did? He's like, yeah. And there was snow on. So maybe I need to paint the picture a little bit better. Like I said, it's December 5th. There's a 2-inch, maybe 3-inch snow. Clay calls me at 1:30. I call him back a little after 2. And he was like, I found it. I found the track. This is where it's at. It's heading in this direction. And I'm like, Clay, I'm like right in the middle of this. I said, I tell you what, like I'm going to bust out of here as quick as I can. I'll run home. I'll get the dogs and I'll come back. So he said, you just call me on your way home. So I hurriedly got through the reception part of it, probably crammed down a couple of whatever they had to eat. And I mean, I left abruptly. So this, like I said, this is a Friday evening. So I get home, I change clothes, grab my dogs. I'll tell you which dogs I was hunting. I had Frosty. I had Belle and Clyde, which were my two Cameron dogs. And I had Smokey. So I had 4 dogs. So I load the dogs up. I meet old Claybo at the gas station. He jumps in with me and we get up and I call Paul on the way over. And Fred was there. So it was me, Clay, Paul, and Fred. That was the four of us. So Clay tells me where this track's at. And in my mind, it's not too far from the truck. So Paul and I decide we'll walk in. You and Fred stay here. Well, me, in my infinite wisdom, decided that I was only going to take Belle and Clyde. I wanted to see what those two young dogs could do by themselves. And it was in the snow. We had a track. I was going to give them an opportunity, knowing that if I'd have taken Frosty, that it was almost a sure thing, right? So Paul and I start walking in, and we get to where we thought Clay had told us, and holler back on the radio. And he's like, no, like, he said, you can't miss it. It's crossing the road. It's headed to the north. Can't miss it. So we continue walking on and we get almost to the top and we cut the track. And at first the dogs did not like just immediately open on it. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, when did this move? And these dogs are young. Like, I don't think they were quite 2 yet. They may have been right at 2 or right before 2. So anyway, we start walking the track and it crosses a road and it goes into a timber cut. So we get up into that timber cut and I hadn't turned them loose. And of course they start opening. And by the time they top the ridge west of us, like, they're moving now. So Paul and I drop back down in the road. And we're listening to them go out the mountain. And we're like, okay, we probably need to parallel them and keep up with them. So anyway, the dogs got gone. Now, oh, I got to go back. I got to back up. So it was after 3:30 before I turned loose on this, okay? So, you know, you can only hunt till dusk. You got 30 minutes after. So in my mind, I'm not even thinking about the dogs being out all night. I'm not thinking about them not, you know, catching it. I've got a track in the snow. It's an opportunity. So I'm taking my two young dogs and giving them the opportunity. That's what I'm thinking. And why I did that, I don't know. Because this was back when it was still a little tough to catch bear. It had gotten a little better, but it was still tough. So anyway, we jump back down the road and we're trying to parallel and keep up with them. Well, they left us and Clay hollers on the radio and says he can hear them coming. And I mean, this never, like, this hardly ever happens, but they come right in above him and they cross 2 hollers. And I tell him, I was like, well, you know, keep up with them. Don't let them cross the hard top. So they were going towards the hard top. Anyway, they got in there and they treed, I don't know, two hollers before the main road, and they treed. And he put Frosty and Smokey to them. So during some point during that time, I don't remember exactly where. I don't think they were treed yet, or they may have been treed. I don't know. I wasn't down there, so I don't know. I don't remember that detail. But I was so excited that those two dogs, that was their first bear they treed by themselves, per se. Okay. Regardless of whether Smokey and Frosty helped them at the end or not, they ran it. They got it to a point where it was stopped or treed, and the other dogs there or not there. So Paul and I run, we run back to the truck, and I guess Clay had jumped in with Fred. And anyway, Fred ends up getting up in the holler. They treat like 150 yards from the road. Gets up in the holler and actually harvests the bear. And we got it down to the road, got some pictures right before dark. So 3:30, by 5 o'clock, this was over and done. And that was kind of the end of it. So the day that I graduated the police academy, December the 5th, 2003, I left our graduation ceremony in a rush to go put on a bear. And I was blessed and lucky enough to be able to tree a bear within a 2-hour time frame with two young dogs that had a world of potential. And that's one of those days, that's one of those hunts that you'll never forget. And I mean that, I remember that. I mean, you're just not going to forget that. And I told somebody that story, and they're like, you need to tell about it. You need to tell people like this story. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll catch you next week on What's Up Wednesday.
Are you looking to have your dog transported to be kept safe, clean, comfortable? Then the ultimate hound transportation experience is with Muddy River. At Muddy River Transport, we understand that your dog's comfort and safety come first. That's why we offer premium dog hauling services that go above and beyond. Why choose us? We use ozone sterilization after every run. We use an advanced ozone machine to thoroughly disinfect and sanitize our van after each journey. This ensures that your dog travels in a clean, hygienic, and safe environment. Top of the line comfort. Our spacious climate control van is equipped with comfortable, secure spaces designed to keep your dog relaxed and safe during transport. Professional and experienced drivers. Our friendly, trained drivers are passionate about dogs and dedicated to ensuring your dog's journey is smooth and stress-free. Communication is key. Count on us for route updates, dog check-ins, and projected times. We respect your time and your dog's needs. For a stress-free, safe, hygienic transport experience, book today and give your dog the best ride of their life. We believe our customers' dogs deserve to be treated like we would treat our own. We aren't just dog haulers. We are active houndsmen. When not on the road, we are hunting our own hounds. Travel safe, travel clean, travel comfortable. Every trip, every time, with Muddy River Transport. Contact us on Facebook at Muddy River Transport Group or call 1-402-274-7558. Do you like to be outdoors like I do? If so, unlock the wilderness with Onyx Maps. It is your ultimate guide to exploring, hunting, and conquering the great outdoors. With detailed maps, real-time tracking, and exclusive access to public and private lands, Onyx Maps is your key to adventure. Discover the possibilities and never get lost again with Onyx. So subscribe today using the promo code K920. Letter K, number 920. And know where you stand.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it three times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence. Helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.